Good evening.
Has joined.
Good evening.
You're the first.
Okay.
Five more minutes.
Okay.
But we're getting back to a normal, abnormal schedule tomorrow morning.
Okay, so what time tomorrow morning?
9 o'clock your time.
Okay, 9 o'clock.
And then again at 1.
Okay.
And then again at 6:30.
Okay.
And then again at 9.
9. Okay.
Even as I said it, I got tired.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a lot of work.
Has joined.
Good evening. I'm not sure who joined. Hello?
Malka.
Hello, Malka. You have background
Hello.
Noise.
Yeah, I'm going to go mute.
Okay. Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa, Gedula Chimincha, Bati, Terura, Alephet Gimel, Yitzhak Sadi, Kabel Rinat, Amcha Sagbenu, Taharenu Nora Ufreshayant in Tetnun Nagibor Dorshe Yehuta Kivavat Shamrein Ngimel Dalet Yud Kashin Barhem Taharem Rahame Sikata Tamid Gamlem Tetresh Saditav Gimel Basin Kadosh Piro Tuha Nael Adata Tetkufet Tetunayan Yachid Geyeh Lamcha Pene Zokre Kedushata Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Ku Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodeya Talumo Shin Kufav Tzadi Yud Ta We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation. Adonai Yohei Wahei. Adonai Yohei Wahei. El Rachum Vechanun. Erech Apayim. V'rav Chesed Be'emet. Notse Chesed La'alafim. Nose Avon Wafesha. V'chata'av V'nakei. We will now connect to the energy of certainty by studying a verse from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar that comes from Parasha Yitro. It's Pasuk 29, and we'll start with L'Shem Yehud. L'Shem Yehud Kudsha Barichu Ishkin Kevid Kilu Urchimu Udkilu Urchimu Udkilu Udkilu Urchimu. Liyachda l'shem yudhe bavate, v'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael, limud Torah mitzvah, la'asok Torah mitzvah, v'yehino amadunai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kodanei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kodanei. Pasuk 29. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekama Atar Ane nan de kucha, Barichu koma de ave, Leila witata, Kola ihu tishot, Biovada dikshot, Leila mila bialma, Divae barna, Vedah ya leya, Mine ya ulan haga. Beya kalana dehakulu ovada dikshot inun wikola itzderich be alma. The energy of the year 5781, this is the year that is coming, is the energy of redemption. But it will only happen if we, the vessel, are ready for it. By studying a verse from Isaiah, chapter 66, verse 21, we make a connection to the redemption, and we prepare the vessels for the manifestation of the redemption. Wigamehem etach lakohanim lalivim. Amar Hashem. The year 5774 has the energy of peace in the Middle East. We connect to the one verse from the Tanakh that connects to this energy. It's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wasamti makom le'amil Yisrael untati v'shakan da'atal v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu v'nei avla le'anoto da'asher barishona. We will now connect to the 72 names of God. We utilize the tool of saying each letter with its root vowel out loud in sequence. Wahe wa yo la yo sayote ala me mehe shi la la he aka aka he. ka la yo la wa wa pe he la nu la ha yo 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 me la hey 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 wa nu ta hey hey a a yo re ta shi a hey re yo yo a wa me la ka pe wa shi re yo he wa la hey hey ta wa ko me nu da anu yo he a me re he a yo yo za hey 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 me yo ha wa wa la yo la hey sa a la re yo a shi la me yo he wa he wa da nu yo he he shi a me me nu nu a nu yo ta me be he pe wa yo nu me me yo yo wa la he re he me ta re wa me be yo he he a nu wa me he yo da me be me nu ko a yo a he be wa re a he yo be me he yo yo me wa me. We will now connect to the 72 names that were revealed by the Tzaddikim. We utilize the same tool. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be te a a me me be shi la yo hey. Anu a kameta, he he yo anu da la he wa he me a. Yo ta la me re he, he yo yo he me me. La wa wa ka be yo, la yo ha wa pe nu la. Nu me ha yo he yo, me nu he 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 wa. Nu yo he he shi he a, yo re ta shi a he. Re la yo wa wa me la yo be mwa he re. Yo yo wa la he he ta a ko me nu da. Anu yo he wa me re he a yo he za. He shi he me ka ha wa wa la yo yo he. Ta a la re yo a la me ta he. Wa he wa da la yo he yo shi a la me. Nu he a nu a ta me la he pe a yo. Nu ko me yo re la yo he be he me za re. Wa he be yo a he a la wa me za yo. Da he be me ka ko a la wa a he he wa. Re la he yo yo me ha la yo me he me. We're now going to connect to the Ma meditations. Yud, Yud, hey, Yud, hey, Wav, Yud, hey, Wav, hey, Yud, Yud, hey, Yud, hey, Wav, Yud, hey, Wav, hey, Yud, Yud, hey, Yud, hey, Wav, Yud, hey. We didn't connect to the meditation for yesterday, which is the fourth day of Elul. And we are continuing our meditations and study of the concept of first becoming a mensch and then becoming holy. And wherever there is no man, we should strive to be a man. This meditation comes for the fourth day of Elul, which was Monday. Continuing the comments by Rabbi Solution from Sunday morning, there are five common character weaknesses. Insatiability is number one. This is the desire for more money, for more possessions, for more acclaim, more sexual partners. This is a common weakness in human nature, motivating much criminal and wrongful and unholy behavior. Since it is natural for most of us to want far more than we have, the fact that we don't have many things that we desire is not a sign that we are leading a deprived life. Rather, it is more likely a sign that we want too much. Too much physicality, as Hanoch's comments. Number two, rationalizing. Using our ability to reason to justify a wrong is a very common and unworthy human characteristic. Wrong as it is to act immorally, it is an additional sin to convince ourselves that what we are doing is right. For example, it is preferable to admit that I bought a dress to wear for a wedding and then I returned it, but I know that Jewish law forbids my doing so, than to rationalize, a lot of people do this, and besides, who was hurt by my action? More than any other character flaw, rationalization makes repentance and self-improvement impossible. This is an unwritten commentary on this meditation. But we need to, as part of the teshuvah process, evaluate each thing and either decide it's good or it's bad by labeling what is something we want to change bad. We help to change the behavior because none of us want to do bad things. But if you don't label that action as being a bad thing, you can always find justifications. Number three, initiating arguments. Many of us argue and advocate wrongful positions for no other reason than the perverse desire to dispute any assertion made by those we regard as opponents. And this is particularly common among religious and political disputants. After all, an assertion is not necessarily false because our enemy says so, or it's not even true because our friend says so. Each action, each thought has to stand on its own. In recognition of this tendency, the Talmud legislates that two scholars who hate one another must not sit together as judges in the same case. Maimonides explains, such a thing brings about a perverted judgment. Because of the hatred they bear one another, each will be inclined to prove the other wrong. Are there people who so annoy or antagonize you that the moment you hear them assert something, your mind starts searching for arguments to refute it? Before taking up the argument, make sure you feel the same way about the position had it been expressed by someone you like. Number four, refusing to acknowledge mistakes. The refusal to admit an error causes us to persist in wrong or foolish behavior. As an old proverb teaches, one who makes a mistake and doesn't correct it is making a second mistake. Number five, indifference to someone else's suffering. The Talmud records that Rabbi Yehuda, the editor of the Mishnah, had difficulty feeling compassion for people who were ignorant about Judaism. Once during a famine, he arranged for food to be made available only to hungry people who were knowledgeable in Torah. One of the students who didn't wish to profit from his Jewish learning went to Rabbi Yehuda in disguise and pretended to be a total ignoramus. Rabbi Yehuda refused to give him any food. Finally, the man begged to be fed as one would feed his dog, and Rabbi Yehuda relented. After the man departed, Rabbi Yehuda regretted that he had been given food to an ignoramus. But when he learned it was his own student, he changed his attitude. "Let everyone enter the storehouse," he announced. "There are no excuses when someone is in need of help. We should extend that help." Contemplate. Which of any of these character traits are within my actions to perform in the past? Now, I'm continuing to read for the meditation for today, the fifth of Elul, which started this past sundown. Questioning your character. In order to struggle successfully with yourself, you must know your character intimately and be aware of your faults. To achieve this self-awareness, sit down with pen and paper, and this exercise will be painful, and write down what you feel are your most obvious character flaws and weaknesses. Am I prone to anger? When I am angry, do I overreact and say or do things that inflict pain on others? Or am I the sort of person who, if asked, will deny that I am angry, yet will treat other people with coldness and disdain and annoyance? Do I judge others fairly, or am I harshly critical, both in what I say and what I think? Am I stingy with my money or my time? Do I speak curtly and making people feel that I have no time for them? And this is unkind, even if we are busy. Do I avoid saying or doing what I believe is right because I fear how others will react or what they will think of me? The question we should ask ourselves is not what will others think of me, but what does God want me to do? Am I nobody? Do I make people around me feel that they are somehow responsible for my moods? Does my unhappiness affect the atmosphere in my home, transforming often in a matter of minutes a general feeling of pleasantness and goodwill into one of tension and sadness, taking away the good mood of those around us and lowering their spirits in a cruel, even if unintentional, act of aggression? Do I treat strangers with more consideration than members of my own family? Do I take another person's kind behavior for granted, or do I go out of my way to express thanks and help those who have been kind to me? Do I blame my wrongful actions and mistakes on others, or do I take responsibility for the wrong I do? Do I jump to conclusions and blame other people before I know all the facts? Am I able to control my impulses, or do I give in to temptations easily? Do I bear grudges and remain angry at others for a long time after an argument? Am I tardy and thereby wasting other people's time by keeping them waiting? Do I rationalize dishonesty with excess, with excuses such as business is different? When I hear of other people's sufferings or misfortunes, do I find ways to help them, or do I feel sadness in my heart but do nothing? Am I jealous of the success of others? Do I begrudge others how their good fortune? Write down your list of weaknesses. Once you have drawn up your list, do not become discouraged, even if you find that you have many weaknesses. Drawing up a list like this is the first and most important step in changing your character for the better. Contemplation. Utilize your list to change yourself for the better today than I was yesterday. How will you implement these character changes? If you need help, contact us at yashem@hotmail.com. There is one more meditation, but it's also for the yesterday evening, for the 24th of August, which is the fourth day of Elul. It is usually very difficult to be able to see ourselves. Today, ask a close friend the following questions. What do you think should change about myself? And what do you think I can improve about myself? No matter what they say or how hard it is for you to hear what they say, remember to thank them for their honesty. Now ask someone who is an acquaintance only. Evaluate what each person says to you. Freedom is a highly valued spiritual goal in Torah. Breaking free of destructive and harmful patterns and habits is highly valued and is called leaving Egypt, leaving Mitzrayim. The Hebrew word for Egypt literally means narrow or limited. Identify one or more ways in which you limit or narrow your freedom by accepting the values and utilizing the values from your society, from your parents, and from your own selfishness. And record these thoughts as well. Now there is another meditation for Tuesday the 25th, which is beginning this evening. Every blockage you have with someone else is a blockage between you and the light. As diplomatically as possible, approach some of these people and let them know that if in any way you have hurt or offended them, you are sincerely sorry. Whether or not they accept the apology is irrelevant, because it is your willingness to humble yourself that reveals the light for both you and them. The Torah teaches that the only true freedom is Torah study. Many people disagree with this because they experience Torah as a religion that they consider limiting. Do you feel constrained by the values you have learned from Torah? To what extent do these values represent man-made or self-made values as opposed to godly values? Can you identify godly values that will help you leave behind these patterns or habits that you have identified? Godly values that will help you leave behind the pattern or habit that you have identified earlier this month. Commit to additional Torah study in this value specifically. Record that commitment to change. The Tzaddikim who left on the fifth day of August, which was yesterday, Rabbi David Tzvi Shlomo ben Rabbi Elazar Menachem Mendel Biederman of Lillo, Rabbi Moshe Aaron ben Rabbi Chaim Pinto, Rabbi Moshe Idan of Jurba. The Tzaddikim who chose to live this day, the sixth day of Elul. That starts this evening at sundown. Rabbi Yom Tov Lipman Heller, Rabbi Yehusiel Yehuda Teitelbaum of Sichdet, and he is the son of Rabbi Elazar Nissan, Rabbi Moshe Mintz, Rabbi Yeheskel Sarna, Rabbi Meir Tzvi Erentro, today's class is the writings of the Ari. You can find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. In row 14, the second column from the left is where you'll find the handout, where you'll find the Ari's list of essays. Once the landing page opens up, please scroll down to the Parasha of Ki Tetze, and you will find a very short essay titled Light Which Transforms, Part 1. And next year we will do Part 2. The title, Light Which Transforms, Part 1. Two lights, betrothal and marriage. In this paragraph, the laws of divorce begin with the phrase, when a man takes a wife and engages in marital relations with her. The laws of betrothal and marriage are derived from this passage. In Jewish law, betrothal, kiddushin, is not simple engagement, but rather a legally binding relationship that establishes a quasi-marital bond between the two people of the betrothed couple. The marital bond is not actually actualized until marriage, which is called nisuin, which occurs when the couple first engages in marital relations. This is an unwritten commentary. If a man sleeps with a woman, if a Jewish man sleeps with a Jewish woman, they are married. Many people do not know that. And it has creates a number of issues regarding unwanted pregnancies, as well as other aspects of human relations and sexual relations. I'm continuing to read. Know that when a man betroths a woman, a certain spirit from the spirit of the husband is drawn down upon her. This spirit is an encompassing light. There are two types of lights or spiritual energies. Encompassing light does not enter into the operative consciousness of the entity that it encompasses. Rather, it serves as a source of inspiration or protection. In contrast, inner light informs the consciousness of the entity that it enters and remakes its possessor's worldview, changing the way the possessor lives his or her life. Once the encompassing light has been drawn down upon her from his spirit, he can then engage in full marital relations with her. This imparts to her an additional level of spirit from him and inner light. The inner spirit cannot enter her until the encompassing spirit of this same inner spirit enters her first. Full marital relations involves the union of the souls of the couple, not just their bodies. By the same token, full union is not possible without bodily union either. But the ideal is that these two types of union enhance each other. Therefore, no matter how close the couple become by being betrothed, their full spiritual union is not possible until their marriage is consummated. Betrothal must therefore precede marriage, for the inner spirit cannot enter her until the encompassing spirit of the same inner spirit enters her first. Note that the use of the word of the verb to enter, or the encompassing spirit, as well as for the inner spirit. This is because the encompassing spirit does not physically surround the entity to which it has been given, but metaphorically it is present within the entity, as is the inner spirit. But since it does not inform its consciousness, it is considered always at a distance. I just didn't get part two completed yet, which is why we've just read part one. But this is an unwritten commentary. I didn't want to write the commentary because I think it's significant. We have surrounding light or encompassing light, and we have inner light. And we think of surrounding light as literally a cloud around you of all of the light that you were supposed to reveal. And inner light is what when you have revealed that surrounding light. But here we learn differently. Here we learn that the surrounding light is in your body just like the inner light. But you have to, when the surrounding light comes into the body, it doesn't inform the body that it's there. So it is actually considered as if it was sitting outside the body, because the inner light, the inner person, doesn't know that light is there. Continuing with the commentary, we have a number of people in the modern generations, the last two or three, that live together without marriage. Their testing sometimes is what they will explain. But then what happens is they live together for a year or two, and they get married, and they no longer have the same capacity, meaning their financial resources or their time resources have dissipated. What is happening is that when people live together, they may have sexual intercourse, but there is no engagement, which means the spirit for that sexual intercourse has already dissipated. It doesn't enter to the body. But when they get engaged and then married, that's when the troubles begin. Because they get along so fine when they're just living together. But then the stress of the marriage or being in together, they think everything is so wonderful, we might as well get married because it's clearly working out. And then they get married. But what has happened? Satan is trying to keep marriages from happening. So what happens is Satan is given this additional space of the engagement prior to the wedding. And it is very unusual for an engagement to be long-term. We all hear of people who say, I couldn't get the room, so we had to wait a whole other year. But that's not the idea. The issue has to do with this insertion of the spirit of the spirit of the husband into the wife. If you don't have that, you don't have a marriage. It's not completed. Shabbat Shalom. I didn't mean to say that. I should have said Shavuot Tov or Shalom Gadol. Are there any questions? Have a beautiful. Any questions?
No questions.
Have a beautiful evening. Shavuot Tov.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Shalom. Shalom Gadol.